Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the third hour, we're going to break it up into two parts, roughly. Start out with audio open lines. Start out with some comments made by former President Bill Clinton. And some comments, you probably already heard them, made by his wife, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton from New York, on values as it relates to Scripture. And we'll have some other audio for you as well. Then we're going to be playing Name That Religion. We usually play Name That Church Body, and that's kind of within Christianity. We play a soundbite, a little piece of a sermon we ask you based upon what you heard. What's that denomination? What's that church body? Well, we're going to do the same pan-religiously. Well, we're very ecumenical here at Issues, etc. So we're going to have four soundbites. We're going to play them in the same order so as not to confuse anyone. One of them is a Catholic. One of them is a Jew. One of them is a Muslim. One of them is a Lutheran. Is that what we had there? Okay, we're going to play them. That's not the order, but we're going to play them in an order and ask you, put them in order. Name that religion. Match the religion to the soundbite. We'll play that in a half hour here on Issues, etc. We often ask you to support LCMS World Relief. They're an underwriter of the program, and we give you their toll-free number and say support their work in the Sudan or elsewhere. You know, there is a branch of LCMS World Relief, LCMS Life Ministries. Now, when you support LCMS World Relief, you are also supporting that defense of life from beginning to end that is LCMS Life Ministries. Again, the same number applies, 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. If you like what we brought you in the last hour with Scott Klusendorf and you want to support life from beginning to end, LCMS World Relief and LCMS Life Ministries, that's the place. 1-888-930-4438, or find them at our website, issuesetc.org. The logo is on our homepage, issuesetc.org. We begin audio open lines today with this CNN report on the Democratic Party, religion, and values. It begins with Wolf Blitzer.
In the culture wars today, new rules of engagement for Democrats from a former commander-in-chief. That would be Bill Clinton. Our senior political correspondent, Candy Crowley, is here in the Situation Room with details. Candy?
Wolf, if you're a Democrat and you're running for office and you're looking for a roadmap, who are you going to call? You know exactly who you're going to call.
Offering up a kind of playbook on the good book, former President Bill Clinton suggested at a party fundraiser that Democrats could not only get in the debate, but win it.
We don't have to be afraid of our values. And for those of us who are about to celebrate Easter, the number one admonition in the New Testament for citizens was not to forget the poor. That's mentioned over 500 times. You can't find all that stuff they talk about mentioned over two or three times, if at all.
In the past 35 years, only two Democrats, Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter, have won the White House. Both spoke openly about religion. It doesn't take a leap of faith to believe there's a message there.
Is that the Democrats make a terrible mistake if we act like it's illegitimate to be a values voter.
It's been an axiom of recent presidential politics that the all-Republican South and the mostly Republican interior West is due in no small part to the president's ability to relate to people not just where they live, but how they live. Bill Clinton tells the story of a Louisiana minister, a friend who recently admitted he voted for Bush.
As a matter of fact, he said he wanted to make a confession to me. And I thought that's pretty good, having a Pentecostal preacher confess to the world's most famous sinner, so I listened to what he had to say.
Bottom line here, from the first Democrat since FDR to be elected to a second term, Democrats need to talk more about religion as it guides their politics on issues like, say, immigration.
It is certainly not in keeping with my understanding of the scriptures, because this bill would literally criminalize the Good Samaritan, and probably even Jesus himself.
Apparently, some people have been listening.
Still, politics and religion, even when couched in the more generic term values, is a touchy mix. One Republican consultant publicly advised Democrats recently to back off during the primary season, suggesting if primary voters wanted to hear about religion on the campaign trail, they'd be Republicans.
There's no doubt, though, that when it comes to politics on the Democratic side, when Bill Clinton speaks, the Democrats listen.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is something that he's been talking about all along. So, and it's a message that, as you can see, is beginning to get through. But he has the template. He had the winning template, and part of it was that he was culturally very comfortable in churches and talking the religion. It helped him out of some tight spots, as you know. But it was a part of his whole administration. And so if you're looking for what's the key to success here, that's the guy you're listening to at
Candy,
this point.
Thank you very much. Candy Crowley reporting.
All right, it's Audio Open Lines. I'd like your reaction to the Democratic Party religion and values. Open lines for your calls, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Open lines also includes, oddly enough, the line that brings us the email. So we include that as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, few thoughts there on what the former president had to say. He seemed to assert in the one soundbite that Democratic values are more scriptural than Republican values. He said, you know, there are more admonitions in the New Testament to help the poor than any of that stuff that the other people are talking about. They only have a few references in scripture for their values. Don't be afraid to be a values politician, and don't be afraid of the values voter. And he is right. It's a mistake for any party, Democratic or Republican or whatever party you are, to kind of poo-poo the values voter. The values voter is an important voter. It's never a good idea for a politician to say any kind of voter is illegitimate. But the values voter all the more. I do not, by the way, subscribe to the view that if all the values voters just got together and went to the polls, we could retake them. I don't think it's going to happen. Retake America and rebuild her greatness. No, it's not a matter of values voter turnout. That's not what it is. Or if the church is somehow mobilized, we could reshape America into the great nation she once was. I think the values voters are almost saturated in terms of their voting. If you would look at values voters vote. That's why they're called, by the way, values voters. Otherwise, we just call them values sitting at home people. The fact that we know about them means they're at the polls to be polled after and to be talked to after they come out of the polling place. They're there. Well, he is right. So we don't poo-poo the values voter. And what these Democratic leaders are calling for is nothing more than what the Republicans have been doing for a long time. Did it resonate with you in 2004 when we had President George W. Bush running against Senator John Kerry, and both of them were in church every Sunday? And John Kerry was in a pulpit, especially toward the end of the campaign. He was in a pulpit as often as he could get into a pulpit, and he was talking values. Did it resonate with you? Did that work? Or one reader wrote me and said, look, a Democrat presidential candidate standing in a pulpit talking about his religious faith is a three-legged dog. Now, in Texas, a three-legged dog is, how do you explain that? An unnatural thing. What do you think? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. I would love to see a pro-life Democratic presidential candidate talking about values. The inconsistency with John Kerry was primarily in his pro-choice views and talking about values. That was the major inconsistency there. Really. Barry calls from Washington, D.C. He listens on the Internet. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Todd.
Hey.
I've got a comment on this. I'm a Christian. I'm also an LCMS Lutheran, and I'm also a Democrat. I was even a consultant to the Kerry campaign in the last race. And, you know, one of the things I hammered in over and over again is when you ignore voters like us, the people who think like we do and go where we go on Sunday mornings, you're making a big mistake. So I'm glad that the Clintons are pointing out that there's room for Christians in the Democratic Party, and we need to stand up, stand up and say who we are. And as far as presidential candidates, I'd like to see Bob Casey from Pennsylvania run in a few years.
Yes. Bob Casey is the son of the famous Casey who was refused a speaking slot at the Democratic National Convention sometime back. Bob Casey is actually running against, Santorum. Am I right? He's running against Santorum, a pro-life Democrat against Santorum. And now, I haven't heard any news about it recently, but the last I heard was Santorum is facing a run for his money, as they say. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, look, many would say that for President Bill Clinton to stand and talk about values is just too ironic to be believed. I don't think so. I'm willing to give the man the benefit of the doubt. What he did while he was in office, there's no need to comment on that. I think even those who supported him in it believed it was wrong. But look, if he wants to say, let's start talking about values, and if he wants to make his pet value helping the poor, that's fine. He didn't specify what the values on the Republican side were that he didn't believe had as much scriptural merit as Democratic values. Now, had he specified, I might find more reason to disagree with him. Well, we talked with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery yesterday about a scientist's alternate explanation for Jesus walking on water. Let's hear from the scientist himself. This is Duron Knopf. He's professor of oceanography at Florida State University. He says it could have been possible for someone, maybe even Jesus, to walk on a submerged piece of ice in the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago.
It would be about maybe 100 feet long, something like that. And that would be only next to the shore. It's not going to be in the middle of the lake.
Now, the story puts the disciples in the middle of the lake. In fact, it explicitly puts them in the middle of the lake. The disciples are out in the middle. They're not near the shore. So for Knopf's theory to be true, then at least one element, well, actually two elements of the biblical account have to be wrong. One is that they weren't in the middle of the lake, and two, Jesus wasn't really walking on the water. He was walking on water in its solid state. Duron Knopf, this oceanographer from Florida State University, says that ice does occasionally, or did occasionally, form in the Sea of Galilee.
How does that tie in, and if it is tying at all to anybody, to the biblical story of someone walking on water, I don't know. But all I'm pointing out is that this ice was there, and someone could have walked on it.
All right, why don't you go ahead and play the next one there, if you would, because I think that was the wrong piece that we played.
Up to them. What believers or non-believers do with this information is kind of up to them.
All right. So Knopf says, I'm just presenting the scientific facts. There used to be ice in the Sea of Galilee. And when I found this out, I immediately thought to myself, hey, maybe that's how Jesus did it. Maybe he was actually just walking on submerged ice in the Sea of Galilee. And it would have had to have been, you know, no closer, no farther out than 100 feet from the shore. Now, that's technically not the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Do you think that, okay, let's just go back to the story. Story is, the disciples are on their way from one side to the other. You don't skirt the shore, you go across. The straightest line between A and B for the disciples. So they're headed across, all right? They encounter a storm. Now, remember, the Sea of Galilee is not an ocean. It's an inland sea, very small for an inland sea. It's a lake, a big lake. You can actually, from the center of this thing, I think, see all four shores. Okay, so north, south, east, and west. But they're in the, if you've ever been on a lake in a storm, those of you who fish on big lakes, can be a very unpleasant experience. So even for these seasoned fishermen, who probably, by the way, did most of their fishing near the shore, they're in the middle of the lake headed across, and they're afraid in the midst of the storm. They're even afraid of foundering. And in the middle of this storm, here comes Jesus. Oh, I'm almost going to sing it. Here comes Jesus. See him walking on the water. He's the master of the wind and waves. So here comes Jesus walking on the water. Now, in order for Knopf to be right, I mean, this is just a matter of fact. I'm not even really, anyone could make this argument. In order for this to be true, number one, what would they be afraid of 100 feet from the shore in the middle of a storm? 100 feet is not a big distance. It's 100 feet from where I'm sitting to my office. Now, I can walk it in 30 seconds if I hurry. I could swim it. I'm not much of a swimmer, but let's assume that the fishermen who spent their time in the water could swim. We know at least one of them could, Peter. What are they afraid of if they're only 100 feet from the shore? The whole basis for the story dissolves. or melts, excuse the pun, if in fact they're only 100 feet from the shore and Jesus is just taking a gentle stroll on a submerged ice floe out to visit them. Now, they would have to be liars to tell the story differently, wouldn't they? They'd have to be liars to tell the story differently, like, well, we weren't 100 feet from shore. We were in the middle of the lake. And Jesus wasn't walking on the water. He was just making his way along a slightly submerged ice floe. Okay, but let's say for the sake of argument that they're not liars and that they're telling a story true as they saw it. So maybe they didn't know about the ice, even though they're seasoned fishermen. And if one man can walk on a submerged ice floe, anyone can walk on a submerged ice floe, and one would assume that people did it all the time, or at least occasionally. And these men spend their time around the edge of the ocean, edge of this sea, and they perhaps have seen all manner of people walking on submerged ice floes in the Sea of Galilee. So why would it be remarkable to them? But let's say they're being honest, and they actually believe, against all of this, that Jesus is walking on the water. And it actually occurred that they were just simply out 100 feet from the shore. Jesus takes advantage of a submerged ice floe, walks on the water, and gets to them. It doesn't account for the rest of the story. And you know what it does? It makes Jesus the liar. Now, in the piece that we heard yesterday, the other explanation given by a Roman Catholic priest was, come on, it's a metaphor. Don't take it so literally. Don't try to explain it away with science, but don't believe it's true either. It's a metaphor for trusting Jesus. You know what, folks? That's a worse scenario than Doron Knopf's. That's a worse scenario, in my mind, than trying to explain it away with a submerged ice floe. Simply saying, it wasn't true anyway. It's just a metaphor for trusting Jesus. I don't know, Peter, when he was sinking, didn't seem to think that this whole walking on the water thing was much of a metaphor. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. My time flies when you're pontificating. Holy smokes. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And of course, my producer isn't paying attention. He's just in there jibber-jabbering and having a jolly old time while I sit out here. Next, in Audio Open Lines, here's a piece from CBS Evening News. On the changing face, oh, this is interesting. The changing face of the Catholic Church and its priesthood. Here's CBS's Byron Pitts.
As it was in the beginning.
Inside the sacred walls of the Catholic Church, there are signs of change. Same message, new messengers.
I'm calling for to be ordained as God's priest, and so I can serve everybody.
Meet Andrew Nguyen. Born in Vietnam, he fled to the U.S. with his family. A college-educated computer engineer, Nguyen had a career, but chose a calling.
Are you Vietnamese first? Are you American first? Are you Catholic first?
First of all, I find myself Catholic first. 51 Vietnamese, 49 American. And when it comes to religion, 100% Catholic.
While Asians make up nearly 2% of the American Catholic Church, they're now 12% of all seminary students nationwide.
St. Patrick's Seminary, just north of San Jose, California, is a perfect example of the changing face of the Catholic Church in America. 43%, nearly half the students here studying for the priesthood, are Asian.
For me, that's a sign of great hope.
Father Mark Catalana counsels prospective students at St. Patrick's. Well aware of the declining numbers of Catholic priests over the past 30 years, he sees this rise in Asian seminary students as a new opportunity.
I think that we're finding in the Asian culture is that their families work with them, support them in their vocations, and encourage them.
They're referred to sometimes as the new Irish.
I think that's a lot of ways true.
And just like the Irish and Italian immigrants who fled persecution and whose children found purpose and service to the Catholic Church, Joe Kim is a second-generation Korean-American.
I think there is a strong sense of reverence for the holy, that Asians bring. And this stems from a culture of respect and you know, respect is embedded in the culture.
A sense of respect often overlooked in an American culture, it's been said, that values prosperity over service. But students like Andrew Nguyen enter the clergy with a different perspective, shaped by boyhood memories of sleepless nights and hungry days aboard a refugee boat.
That's the most vivid memory, and I find it very valuable. And because of that, I really value life.
A life now devoted to the Catholic priesthood. Times may change the faces in the choir, but never the faith. Byron Pitts, CBS News, Menlo Park, California.
You know what I found interesting about that was the Asian cultures. One of the priests, the new priest there, said, you know, our culture is all about respect and honor and reverence. And it fits nicely, it dovetails nicely with the same thing that you find in the Roman Catholic Church. Would that it was so that the faces of the priesthood change, but the message never does. Would that that were true. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. But it does go to show something. The Catholic Church has, in certain parts of the world, practiced what they call accommodation, where they come in and they try and kind of jimmy their theology to fit the local culture and beliefs, almost to the point of syncretism at times, the mixing of different religions. And they don't need to do that. They don't. They can be true to their beliefs. I mean, I profoundly disagree with much of what they teach, but they can be Catholic and be Roman and still not have to accommodate their religious teachings to the cultures. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. And after the break, we're going to play Name That Religion. Here's Mark calling from South County. Mark, we got 1 minute.
Yeah, Pastor Wilkin. This is Mark Sable. How you doing?
Fine.
Good. What were those boats doing out in that icy water? Has that been brought up?
Well, that's a good question.
And then if Peter stepped out, then I guess we could say he literally did get cold feet.
All right, Mark. Okay, well, a lot of questions. See, when you get an explanation that raises more questions than it answers, it goes to what Dr. Montgomery was saying yesterday. He says, look, all these scientific explanations or the metaphorical explanations for these events in the New Testament or the Old Testament, the one weakness they have is that they stretch credulity even more than the miraculous explanation. There can be, unless you kind of adopt the viewpoint that the miraculous is God breaking the rules of nature. No, he supersedes them. But, or maybe God has some rules we don't know about. Unless you concede that, there are times when the miraculous explanation is, in pure Occam terms, the most reasonable explanation. You know Occam's razor is, when you eliminate everything, all of the possible explanations as impossible, what you are left with, no matter how weird it may seem, is the best possible explanation. And sometimes that's the case for things like Jesus walking on the water. You can try and explain it away with an ice floe, with the disciples being 100 feet from the shore, with them not being able to see that he's walking on an ice floe, with Jesus being a liar and willing to dupe his disciples, I guess just for giggles in private. But that's not the most reasonable explanation. The miraculous is. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
There is nothing like the relationship between a mother and her child. Nothing. And that relationship is only surpassed by the relationship between our Heavenly Father and His children in Jesus Christ. These two themes, our earthly mothers and our Heavenly Father, are brought together in a beautifully illustrated children's book. It's our Issues Etc. book of the month for April. It's called Mommy Promises by Issues Etc. regular guest Julie Stiegelmeyer. Mommy Promises is available from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You can also browse before you buy and find the book at our website, issuesetc.org. Mommy Promises is right there on the homepage, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for April, Mommy Promises by Issues Etc. regular guest Julie Stiegelmeyer. 1-800-325-3040.
living like animals. It's society's paradox.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of Genesis and the Decay of the Nations. Well, Ken, what does living like animals have to do with a paradox in society, as you said?
Mark, through our secular education system, students are taught they're just animals and that they've evolved from other creatures. Therefore, animal instincts and behavior from their primitive ancestors have been passed down to them. Is it any wonder, then, that we see so many young people today living like animals and trying to satisfy their so-called animal lust for sex, power, and violence? Now, a society must remain consistent with its own teachings. If it teaches people that they're just animals and they're accountable to no one but themselves, why shouldn't people do whatever they want to? But, and here's the paradox, the very same evolutionary society that tells them they're animals punishes them for being consistent when they act like animals by stealing, killing, and so on. So the more people accept evolution, the more they'll rebel against the rules of the culture. Today, society is trying to govern and rule based upon a worldview that has no basis with which to govern and rule. But Genesis teaches that there's a creator God to whom we are accountable and whose laws we are obligated to obey.
The struggle between worldviews, Christianity versus humanism, is the theme of Ken Ham's new booklet on the culture wars. You can find the free booklet on our website, answersradio.com. Dr. Peter Scare on how Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is unique.
We take seriously the words of our Lord, you know, that we are to be called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are faithful to the scriptures, and we are faithful to word and sacrament. We are both evangelical and Catholic. We are evangelical in that we believe the word of God to be true, that we believe the Bible, and we're not going to back down from it. At the same time, we're Catholic. We recognize that this church has been around for 2,000 years. We also recognize that God is continuing to work through means, that he's working through the water of baptism, he's working through the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we take seriously our mission to be a light and salt to the earth.
For more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, go to their website, ctsfw.edu, or call them at 1-800-481-2155.
Celebrate the ministry with us during Charathon 2006, April 20th through the 22nd, here on AM 850 KFUO. Hi, I'm Gary Duncan, asking you to prayerfully consider supporting the worldwide ministry of AM 850 KFUO. Again, our Charathon is April 20th through the 22nd, here on AM 850 KFUO. Come celebrate the ministry with us.
Right. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., Dr. Jeff Gibbs will be our guest. What are we going to be talking about? Well, it's a big word and a big idea, and one that has not been without controversy in the history of the church, propitiation. What does it mean? Well, it means satisfaction, to satisfy. Did Jesus satisfy anything, anyone, when he gave his life for us at the cross? Or was it just a demonstration of how much God loves us? There are whole wings of the church that have a real problem with God's wrath being satisfied at the cross. And they ask questions like, well, if God is making payment for sin and satisfying the wrath, how can he satisfy his own wrath? We're going to answer all of those questions tomorrow with Dr. Jeff Gibbs as we talk about propitiation. What does it mean to be Lutheran? Aaron Wolf will be answering that question of Chronicles Magazine with us tomorrow on the program. Until we get there for the next half hour, no more audio open lines. It's time to play Name That Religion. Now, we play Name That Church Body, which is pretty simple. We play one or two sound bites from the same preacher, and we ask you to name the church body. It's a Christian preacher. You know that much. And we ask you, name that church body. This is a little bit different and just slightly more complex. We're not going to play one preacher. We're going to play four. And they're not all Christian. And we're going to tell you in advance what they are, not what each individual one is, but we're going to tell you that in this group of sound bites we're playing for you, there is a Muslim, there is a Jew, there is a Roman Catholic, there is a Lutheran. You already know that in advance, okay? We're going to play them not in that order, and all we want you to do is tell us what order are we playing them in. Which one is the Jew? Which one is the Muslim? Which one is the Lutheran? Which one is the Catholic? Can you tell the difference? Now, these are all religious leaders speaking at a recent immigration rally. And let's see. The winners are going to receive prizes like books. What kind of books are we going to give away, Jeff? He doesn't know. I'll tell you what, if you give us the right answer, when the first person calls in and gives us the right answer, I'm not going to say that was the right answer. We're going to let the whole hour play out, whole half hour play out, and then we'll say who won. We'll keep track. Hopefully someone will keep track. Maybe we should put Craig in charge of that since he's not checking the email right now. And then you check the email, Craig, and then we'll give away some books and we'll give away Issues Etc. travel mugs. And we will also give away He Is Risen Indeed, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for last month. It's still Easter, by the way, even after Easter is over, and we're not even there yet. So when we get to Easter, we've still got 6 weeks of Easter ahead, plenty of time to take that book, He Is Risen Indeed. All right. Here are the four pieces. I want you to tell me, in what order are you hearing them? In what order are you hearing the Muslim, the Jew, the Lutheran, the Catholic? Which is which? It's name that religion. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. All of our internet listeners can play too, so don't hesitate. Here are the four bites. You tell us what order they're on. Name the religion.
The alien who resides in your land shall be as you, as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien as you love yourself.
We are standing here today not to say, let my people go, let my people stay.
We gather in prayerful protest against discrimination, that of the immigrant who comes to our country seeking a better life for himself and his family.
We tell the story of the children of Israel. And Moses, who said to Pharaoh, let my people go. But this year we will tell the story differently.
All right. Those were four religious leaders speaking at an immigration rally recently. Just picture yourself at the rally. You're at the rally. You don't know who you're looking at. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, you got your eyes closed. Or you're just listening to it on the radio out of context. No one's announcing who you're hearing. You hear these four religious leaders. One of them is a Jew, one of them is a Muslim, one of them is a Catholic, and one of them is a Lutheran. Which is which? You heard the four. Which do you think is which? We'll play it again here in just a second. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. That's our in-studio email address. We're playing Name That Religion. It's just a variation on Name That Church Body. This time, you get to choose from four different ones, and you tell us what order are we playing them in. And we tried to keep it limited so you could keep track of it. So, who is first? The Muslim? The Jew? The Lutheran? The Catholic? Who's second? That's how it works. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Name That Religion. Don is up first. He calls from his car. Don, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I'll take a shot.
Okay.
I will go with the Lutheran, Muslim, Catholic, Jew.
All right. I'm going to record that as Don's vote. And, Don, if you keep listening, we'll let you know whether you are right or you are wrong. Thank you very much for playing Name That Religion. So he's got his order. Do you agree? Do you disagree? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's hear those four bites again. The order does not change. You're telling us what the order is.
The alien who resides in your land shall be as you, as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien as you love yourself.
We are standing here today not to say, let my people go, let my people stay.
We gather in prayerful protest against discrimination, that of the immigrant who comes to our country seeking a better life for himself and his family.
We tell the story of the children of Israel. and Moses who said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." But this year we will tell the story differently.
All right, those are the four sound bites. One of them is a Muslim. One of them is a Catholic. One of them is a Lutheran. One of them is a Jew. So which is which? Name that religion. Can you tell the difference? You know, you can't tell just by listening to the voice. That doesn't tell you anything. Can you tell the difference by what they said? Listen carefully. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up next, Joel calls from his car. Hi, Joel.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm thinking Jew, Muslim, Catholic, Lutheran.
Okay, Jew, Muslim, Catholic, Lutheran. That's his guess. A little bit different from Don's guess. Thanks for playing Name That Religion. Joel, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in your car. Let's see what Matt has to say. He calls from Richmond Heights. Matt, welcome.
Hi, Todd. I agree, I think, with the first caller. The order is Lutheran, Muslim, Catholic, and Jew.
What is it? Why are you voting that way, just for the sake of argument? Why are you voting that way?
Well, based on the sound of the voice and the words, those two items.
Is there any, in your order that you've put before it, is there any one of the sound bites that kind of lynched it for you, cinched it for you?
Well, the Catholic had, you know, a high monastic tone to his voice. The rabbi spoke of the people of Israel. The Muslim was a bit harsh and screaming a bit. And the Lutheran, just sounded pretty normal.
All right, those are the clues for Matt, and that's his order. He's voting on the same order as Don before. Joel disagrees in between. What do you think the order is for our sound bites here from these religious leaders speaking at this immigration rally? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Dennis and see what he thinks the order is as we name that religion.
Yeah, Todd, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm going to agree with the other guys. I think it's Lutheran, Muslim, Catholic, and Jew.
All right, Dennis, thank you very much. Everybody wants to play Name That Religion. Let's talk with Steve in Fenton. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Todd. Can I ask a quick question?
You may.
What type of Lutheran are we talking about here?
I honestly don't know. I'm going to guess that since the Lutherans who usually show up for these kind of things is Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They also are the majority of Lutherans in the United States, so I'm going to take a guess at that.
Okay, that was my assumption.
What's your order there, Steve?
Lutheran. Boy, this is tough. Lutheran, Catholic, Muslim, Jew.
All right, Lutheran, Catholic, Muslim, Jew. Steve, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's an ELCA, an Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Lutheran who's in this group, but where is he? Is he the first one, the second one, the third one? What about the Jew? Is he the first one, the second one, the third one? That's how we're playing Name That Religion. Martha in Florissant. Martha, welcome.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can.
I'm going to try this. I think one is a Roman Catholic.
Okay.
And two, Muslim.
All right.
Three, Lutheran, and four, Jewish.
Okay. So she says Roman Catholic, Muslim, Lutheran, Jew. Martha, thank you very much, and thanks for the call. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. For those of you who are just tuning in, let's play the sound bites one more time. Here are the four. The order has not changed. Name that religion.
The alien who resides in your land shall be as you as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien as you love yourself.
We are standing here today not to say, let my people go, let my people stay.
We gather in prayerful protest against discrimination, that of the immigrant who comes to our country seeking a better life for himself and his family.
We tell the story of the children of Israel and Moses who said to Pharaoh, let my people go. But this year we will tell the story differently.
All right, there they are. Let's go back to the phones. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. One of them is a Muslim. One of them is a Catholic. One of them is a Jew. One of them is a Lutheran. But which is which? Playing Name That Religion. And our winners will get some books, Jeff will decide, and our Issues Etc. travel mug. Up next, Greg calls from his car. Hi, Greg.
Hi.
What's the order, Greg?
I'm going to go with Muslim, Jew, Catholic, and Lutheran.
Interesting. That's an order. You know, there's so many permutations you can do of this. You know, the limited number of permutations. That one hasn't been mentioned before. Greg, thank you very much. Steve calls from his car. Steve, welcome.
My order would be Jew, Muslim, Catholic, Lutheran.
Jew, Muslim, Catholic, Lutheran. I think Joel, I think that was his guess,
yeah,
too,
he
when
copied
he called.
Yeah, he just beat me to the punch.
Oh, he copped. Okay. You know, great minds, as they say. Greg calls from his car. Greg, welcome.
Hi, Todd.
Hi.
I guess great minds do think alike. The other Greg just stole my thunder here. I think Muslim, Jew, Catholic, and Lutheran.
Muslim,
what I think.
Muslim, Jew, Catholic, Lutheran. Okay, isn't that interesting? The two Gregs agree with one another on the never-before-heard permutation of whether it's a Muslim or a Catholic or a Jew or a Lutheran, these four sound bites. Name that religion. I am keeping track of the winners, by the way. I'm not going to tell you yet who's the winner. I have the order in front of me. But honestly, I'm telling you, folks, if I were to listen to these cold, like you are now, without any other information, I don't know if I could get the order correct. I might be able to take an educated guess. All right. Via email, Jan in Pennsylvania writes this. Okay, I'm all confused, but here's my order. Catholic, Muslim, Lutheran, Jewish. Catholic, Muslim, Lutheran, Jewish. Jan, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Pennsylvania. Our in-studio email address, for those of you who would prefer to submit your list that way, I'm this way. I got to write it down. If I'm driving my car, I don't know how you guys have the brain power to keep these four things juggling in your head. Issues ETC at KFUO.org. So that's Jan's guess on which religion is which. Here's Dave. He's calling from his car. Hi, Dave. Dave,
yeah,
welcome.
Yeah, I think it's Lutheran, Muslim, Catholic, and finally, whoever the last one was.
I think the one you're leaving out is Jew.
Jews, yes.
All right, Lutheran, Muslim, Catholic, Jew.
Yeah, the second one definitely is Muslim because he's the way he's talking. The third one, to me, sounds like a Catholic priest. And the Jew is talking about his people and Moses and Pharaoh and how we're going to tell the story differently. So I think that's the right order.
Okay, so what he's doing is, this is a simple process of elimination for Dave calling in. When he gives his order, he hears the voice, he says, okay, that sounds to me like kind of the Muslim rhetoric, and this sounds a little bit like the Jewish rhetoric. The guy, number three, boy, does he sound like a Catholic priest. Although, golly, we just did a thing on how the face of the Catholic priesthood is changing, and the voices there have Asian accents, so you never can tell, folks, whether you're listening to a Catholic priest. Thanks, Dave. Judy is listening on our sister station, KNGN, in McCook, Nebraska. Judy, you name that religion.
Oh, well, okay. Now I'll give you the shot here.
Okay.
I think it's Catholic, Lutheran, Muslim, Jew.
Catholic, Lutheran, Muslim, Jew. I don't think anyone's given us that order either. Judy, thank you very much, and thanks for listening up there in Nebraska. Another email. This one comes from from Walter. Walter in Clinton, Maryland writes this. He guesses Lutheran, Muslim, Jewish, Catholic. Lutheran, Muslim, Jewish, Catholic. What was the name there again? Michael? Walter. Got to put his name down just so I can keep track of all of our callers and our emailers. Another email. This one comes from Michael. He's got an order emailing us from Eureka, California. Great name, by the way, Eureka, California. Lutheran, Muslim, Catholic, Jew. All sinners in need of grace, he says. Lutheran, Muslim, Catholic, Jew. That was Michael. I'm writing it down. They told me to keep track of who's calling and who's emailing. I just have to do all these jobs around here. It's just amazing. And we actually have Sally's just standing there. You could give Sally a clipboard and she'd keep track of these things. Oh, she's checking the email? I thought Craig was checking the email. Oh. You're putting the callers on the air. Is that what you do around here? That's good to know. I just go home every night thinking, it's so nice to spend the afternoon every day with Craig. I really do. I love working with Craig. He is, I told him yesterday, hardest working part-timer I have ever seen in my life. And we work this guy like a dog. Plus, he's very on the ball. It's like he reads my mind. And then, he's very professional. Very professional, except that he eats in the studio. That's his only fault, really. And I don't really mind him eating in the studio. It's that he eats in front of me in the studio. Maybe if people donated more money to Issues, etc., he could be full-time. Oh, we can dream, can't we? We can dream. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's hear those four one more time, Craigie.
The alien who resides in your land shall be as you, as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien as you love yourself.
We are standing here today not to say, let my people go, let my people stay.
We gather in prayerful protest against discrimination, that of the immigrant who comes to our country seeking a better life for himself and his family.
We tell the story of the children of Israel and Moses who said to Pharaoh, let my people go. But this year we will tell the story differently.
Now let's go back to the phones playing Name That Religion. Which is it? Are we hearing what order? A Lutheran? A Jew? A Muslim? A Catholic? Jim calls from his car. Hi, Jim.
Yes, I think it's a Lutheran. Let's see. A Lutheran, Muslim, Catholic, Jew.
All
same
right.
Same as the first guy. That's what I think.
Okay, so same as the very first caller and some of the other callers in here as well. That seems to be the popular one. And one of our callers, Judy, and another one, Martha, I think they had, no one's gone along the lines that they've been going on. Here is Jonathan, and he writes us via email from Howard, South Dakota. He says, I'm going with Roman, Muslim, Jew, Lutheran. Roman, Muslim, Jew, Lutheran. That was Jonathan. Thank you very much, Jonathan. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're playing Name That Religion. You know, we got this idea because we play Name That Church Body. And there are a limited number of denominations that one could choose from there. But you know the big ones, and you can try to identify it. We did this once with a Mormon. And we remember we played the Christmas address from one of the Mormon leaders, and we had people calling in. There was no reference to Mormonism in this address. And we had people calling in, guessing everything, and then we had former Mormons calling in. Former Utahians calling in, saying, it's a Mormon, and how did they know? They didn't know by what he said. They recognized something, they call it a Mormon accent. And I was out in Wyoming, and someone assured me, believe me, there's a Mormon speak out there. And they recognized it as former Mormons, and they guessed Mormon. So here we're just doing a variation on a theme. There's still time for you to play Name That Religion, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. You just tell us, what order are they in? Is it Muslim, Catholic, Jew, and Lutheran? Is it Jew, Catholic, Muslim, Lutheran? Is it Muslim, Jew, Lutheran, Catholic? What is it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. There are going to be two retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, this spring and early in the summer. One is on the Lord's Prayer. It's a confirmation retreat. A time to review this very important prayer given us by our Lord and what it means piece by piece. The Reverend John Dreyer is teaching that one. There's also going to be a retreat on Christ in the Old Testament led by Dr. John Seleska, a regular guest here on Issues, Etc., and director of the Concordia Bible Institute. For more information about these two retreats in the spring at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free 1-877-287-4338, 1-877-287-4338. The retreats are held at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, this spring. We're playing Name That Religion, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I said before, I don't know if I could put these in the right order if I didn't have the order written in front of me. And some people have based it on, well, the Muslim, the person I think is the Muslim, he sounds strident. But there are at least two kind of strident voices in this. Now, why do we play Name That Church Body? We play Name That Church Body so that our listeners can have their ears tuned to what is often missing by way of any kind of distinctive Christian message. The same reason we play Name That Religion. Why is it that when we played the Mormon Christmas greeting back during the Christmas season, so many of our listeners were under the impression that they were listening to a Lutheran Christmas greeting or a Methodist or a Roman Catholic or any other kind of Christian, and they could not tell the difference between the Mormon? It's not because our listeners aren't smart. They're very smart. It's because who could tell the difference? Is there anything distinctive in what the Christian says as opposed to the Jew, or the Christian as the Muslim, or for that matter, the Roman Catholic as opposed to the Lutheran? Dennis calls from St. John, Missouri. Dennis, near the end here. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Hi.
That is pure Hebrew.
What's that?
Pure Hebrew. Well, I got in on a bit of what you were talking about. I just turned the radio on a while ago.
All right, so what's the order you think they're in?
The order?
Yes.
Well, I'd say Hebrew. What do you mean in order? I guess I missed part of your...
One of them is a Muslim, one of them is a Jew, one of them is a Catholic, and one of them is a Lutheran. Do you know what order they're in? That's the game we're playing. Carolyn calls from North County. Our time is very short. Carolyn, what's your order?
A Jew, Catholic, Muslim, and Lutheran.
Jew, Catholic, Muslim, and Lutheran. Carolyn, thank you very much for the call. All right, time is short. Let me tell you who the winners are. The winners are Jim, Michael, who emailed us, Dave, Dennis, Matt, our very first caller got it right on the very first try, Don. Those are our callers who won. Name That Religion. The actual order is Lutheran, Muslim, Catholic, and Jew. Email us with your name and your address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll send you a prize for playing and for winning Name That Religion. Or you can call us at 1-800-737-0172. That's our resource line number. If you call now, you're going to overlap with Tom Baker and Law and Gospel, but you call our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Leave your name and address and all the information, and we'll send you Issues Etc. travel mug and maybe a book or two. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Propitiation with Dr. Jeff Gibbs. I'm Todd Wilkham. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.